Easter last year, Aaron started getting pains in the stomach, and it got to the point during the night, a couple of times we had to get the ambulance here. So he's the sort of person who doesn't complain about pain, and when he's up during the night screaming, so, you know, something's wrong. Oh, he finally got into his doctor in Merch because he wasn't getting any better. She sent him to for a CT scan. The results came out, they rang up and said for Aaron to come in. And I got home and he told me that he had cancer in his pancreas.
People treated him like a drunk because he'd be falling out of the car at 9 o'clock in the morning, but he'd sort of go to walk, and this was before we had any of the walking aids because we didn't know what was going on then.
Couldn't walk on uneven ground or in the dark.
Went from one MRI to him being diagnosed with Arnold Chiari malformation to where we are now.
He'd been out with his friend across the road. He came home, he was normal, he went and had a shower, he was getting tea, and all of a sudden he went strange. His head went back, and, you know, I've only ever seen this in the movies, and I thought it was just a trick. The eyes went right back into his head. And then he started screaming and he started to fall, and I was trying to hold him, but there was no way I could. And they finally got the diagnosis that he had terminal lung cancer and he had a secondary brain tumour, and it was a brain tumour that was giving him a seizure.
One day they said, "You've got cancer on the liver and cancer on the bowel." Very overwhelming. So the next day we came, and for a half an hour we had one of the gorgeous nurses telling us all the terrible things that can happen to you with the side effect, and that was more overwhelming that we thought, what are we getting into? But you feel all of a sudden you've got no, you know, you couldn't let it go. These people immediately gave you the feeling, we'll look after you, you know. And he was in the chair, and they were absolutely fantastic. The doctors and the girls are just so great in oncology.
Scary, because we made the mistake of coming home and giggling. No one's around to tell you that you shouldn't do that. Like, yeah, some of the things were horrible, but everyone's different.
So they airlifted him down there at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was in intensive care for 10 days down there. The hospital provided a flat for situations like me, and I had to share this flat with another woman. I'd never done anything like that in my life. All of a sudden, my husband's had a seizure. He's got terminal cancer, and I'm living in a flat with a perfect stranger. It was such a strange thing. So I spent my days in intensive care with him.
They really said there's nothing we can really do. We can give you chemotherapy, blah, it'll extend your life if you can handle it. And he decided not to do any of that. So we didn't do anything, really nothing. He looked for alternative methods. So we started a juicing regime, which was pretty intense. And he started having green juices and no food. We did all that, and he had some good results. His blood tests were good. We all thought he was going to be okay. It sort of made you a lot more positive, whereas I couldn't have stood it if he'd come home and got into bed and said, "Well, I'm going to die." You know, he was very positive. He just got very weak.
Well, he's always been troubled with skin cancers. So we got referred to the neurosurgeon in Melbourne, and he diagnosed it as meningioma. And it was sitting on the brain not in the brain. At that stage, it wasn't affecting the brain greatly. So they diagnosed him and said, yeah, you've got 4 to 6 months, and he got 4 weeks.
He said, you know, I think it's time to get hospice in, and they were fantastic because they came in and they spoke to Dad and just sort of said, you know, what do you want? You know, Frank, do you want to die at home? Would you like, you know, when the time comes, where do you want to die? And oh, I can't speak highly enough of them. They said, ring any time you want, and, you know, we did, and that was so good.
My oncology specialist, she said, now, before you go jumping fences here, it's not because you're going to die. They are very helpful in managing your illness. So things like support for carers, 24/7 we can ring them. They ring us regularly to see how we're going. Physical support, such as putting a rail in the bathroom, so because I was very weak. Those sort of things. And how's your pain? What's your pain level from 0 to 10? Don't put up with anything. So that's, you know, that's their role.
Hospice was there for me, and they come out and see Norm. They come out, they made sure he had everything, he had a walker. Yeah, look, they were looking after me, but I wasn't really aware of that because I was so consumed about looking after Norm. And the time frame was really short when you consider it, 7 months. So it was, mercifully, it was quick for him, mercifully.